You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're starting a new series called Next Level Relationships, and we're going to be talking about taking all of our relationships to the next level of help. Our friendships, our relationships with our loved ones, our coworkers, we all have relationships that we want to see get better, go to the next level. And speaking of that, let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a relationship that you wanted to see go to the next level, but it was kind of stuck where it was? Like maybe some of you married people, you can relate to this. You ever get into a funk in your marriage? You don't have to raise your hands, but you know, you get into a rut and you got to go on some date nights, right? You got to read some books together. Maybe you need a weekend away because you got to get out of that rut. You got to get things to the next level. What happens to us sometimes, doesn't it? Maybe you meet somebody that you want to be friends with. You hit it off with them. They're an acquaintance. You're like, yeah, you're the kind of person I'd like to hang out with some more. But you can't get your schedules to sync up. You're so busy. They're always busy. And so your relationship is just kind of stuck at the acquaintance level, even though you'd like to build a friendship with this person. Have you been there before? Okay, I think we can all relate to this one. How many of you have ever been in a friendship that you could see becoming more than a friendship? You're like, yeah, I'd like to take this relationship to the next level. Have you been there? Okay, all the guys, men, I'm speaking to you for a minute. I know you can relate to this, okay? Have you ever had your eye on a certain girl that you could see yourself being with, but you were stuck in the friend zone? Come on. How many of you guys have feel my pain? You ever been in the friend zone before? It's the worst place to be. Because, you know, if a girl's just totally out of your league and you don't even have a chance, like you don't get your hopes up, right? But the friend zone, it's like you're right there. You're so close, right? Like she'll spend time with you. Like she likes you. She thinks you're cool. She thinks you're sweet. Like she might even give you a hug every now and then, but she just kind of sees you as a friend, you know, as a buddy. And you're like, no, like I could see us together, but she's not getting it. Come on, guys. Have you been there before, stuck in the friend zone? When Amy and I were in college, we were actually really good friends for 2.5 years before we ever dated. And we ran in the same group of friends. And in fact, she had dated a few guys that I was friends with. And I had actually dated her roommate at one point in time. But my senior year of college, we were both available. And I started looking at Amy differently and seeing her differently. But we had this kind of awkward, you know, we were friends. So there was this like kind of awkward friend zone thing for me I was stuck in. And so I started sending signals, you know. Like I remember our first, that fall break for Christmas, I remember giving her some chocolates and her favorite lotion. I had never done anything like that for her before. I was sending some signals like, girl, I see our relationship going to the next level. Are you with me? And she wasn't getting it. She wasn't getting the signals. I'm like, girl, I don't think you understand. Like I see you and me becoming more than friends. Like this could go somewhere. Like I see you being the future Mrs. Ziegler. Like I think we could make beautiful children together. Are you with me? Well, finally, after a lot of prayer, the woman came to her senses. She came around, right? And 16 years later, 3 boys later, I think we took things up a couple notches. Come on, we took it to the next level. Yeah. How many of you married guys know he who finds a wife finds a good thing? And we produced some beautiful children. My kids all got here the good old-fashioned way. They're not adopted. The biological way. My favorite way. Oh, y'all got to lighten up a little bit this morning in church. Come on, somebody. But we all have relationships that we want to see go to the next level, don't we? All of us, you know, friendships, family members, our relationship with our kids, our spouses, whoever, we all have relationships that we want to see get healthier. And we have challenges, don't we? See, in this whole thing of getting to the next level, we have some obstacles that we have to overcome to get there, don't we? You don't have to raise your hands, but any husbands having any challenges with any wives? If you're crazy enough to put your hand up, we're going to pray for you. Any wives having any trouble with any husbands? Any single people having any challenges with your significant other or the lack thereof? Anybody having any tensions with your coworkers around the office? Any children having any struggles with any parents of all ages? Any parents having any struggle with any kids? Yeah, we've all got our challenges, don't we? We all have things that we have to work on to overcome. Some obstacles we have to overcome to get to the next level. And I think all of us want to have better relationships. We want to have healthier, stronger, more fulfilling, more meaningful relationships. And can I just tell you that God has put us on planet Earth with billions of other people, and he's connected us and wired us with this need for relationships. And I have a news flash for you this morning, church. The other people aren't going away. They're not going anywhere. Like, your parents aren't going anywhere. Your spouse, hopefully, isn't going anywhere. Your kids aren't going anywhere. Your coworker isn't going anywhere. Your boss, your business partner isn't going anywhere. So we have to work this out, don't we? We have to work this out. This is actually really important. Jesus said in the Great Commandment that it all boils down to loving God with everything you have and loving people. Like, that's the second half of the equation. So we have to work on this. And so we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks, basic things of relationships, communication and working through tensions and friendships and forgiveness and reconciliation, so we can see our relationships go to the next level. I want to encourage you to be here. We're going to have a great time over the next few weeks in this series. We're going to grow together. We're going to get better at this. And I really believe you're going to see a breakthrough in your relationships. Now, I want to give you a foundational idea today, really foundational idea for today's message and for this series. I believe if you can get a hold of this truth, it'll change your life. It'll affect the health of your relationships. And I want to invite you to write this down and put this thought in your notes. To the degree that we can receive the love of God, this gift of God's love in our lives, to the degree that we can receive the love that God has given us, is the degree to which we will be able to have healthy relationships. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I believe this is absolutely true for you. I believe this is absolutely true for us and essential for us to get a hold of this. To the degree that we can receive what God is wanting to give us, his love for us, right? His grace, his mercy, to the degree that you can receive that is the degree that you will be able to have and experience healthy relationships. I believe it's the number one factor that determines our ability to have healthy and meaningful relationships. Now, let's acknowledge this morning that all of us as human beings, we all have a past. We all have a family background. We all have hurts. We all have had different experiences. We were all raised by imperfect parents. Nobody in here had perfect parents. Everybody experienced some level of dysfunctional, some more than others, right? But we were all raised by flawed human beings, and we all have our own issues. Can we just be honest this morning? We all have our own stuff we have to work through. But I believe the love of Jesus Christ is the greatest influence in your life. If you're a follower of Christ, I believe the love of God has more capacity to influence your life than anything else in your life. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that? The love of God can triumph over all of those things. And so this morning, we're going to go after everything God has for us. We're going to jump over any hurdles that we have to grab a hold of what God has for us. And here's the fundamental idea. I'm going to ask you this question this morning. What is your capacity to receive what God is giving you and wanting to give to you? What is your capacity to receive his love, his grace, his mercy in your life? I believe the answer to that question is the number one shaper of your ability to have healthy relationships, your ability to have reconciliation. I believe it's the number one thing, number one factor that will affect the health of your marriage if you're married, or your relationship with your significant other if you have one. If you're single, your relationship with your friends, your coworkers, your family, your roommate, the sphere of people in your sphere of life, okay? I believe it's the number one factor that will affect your ability to have meaningful relationships. But we have some flaws that we have to work through, don't we? Come on, we talked about it before. In order to get to the next level, sometimes we have to work through some of our challenges, because we have, you know, in our minds, the relationships that we dream of having. And then at the same time, we have the relationships in their current status right now. And so we have to work through some obstacles to get there. We have to overcome some things to get to the next level. And there are a couple flaws that we all experience to some degree in our relationships. Let me give you some of those, okay? Here's the first one. We expect more of other people than they can possibly give to our lives. Come on, isn't that just true this morning? That's one of our essential flaws. We expect more of other people than they can possibly be, do, and give to our lives. Let me give you an example this morning, okay? Some of you single ladies, you know, you might be able to respond to this. All the single ladies, little Beyonce, all the single ladies, okay? Some of you, you can relate to this. You are waiting for the perfect guy to come into your life. Come on, how many single ladies you're holding out for the perfect guy who's gonna come into your life and he's gonna solve all of your problems as soon as you find him, right? Come on, and you have a picture of it in your mind, don't you? This is how you picture, like, you kind of picture him rolling up in a Mercedes convertible. He steps out dressed like he stepped out of a GQ photo shoot. Come on, the wind's blowing in his hair, and he comes to you, and he's going to embrace you. He's going to love you despite all of your weaknesses and your hangups. He's going to affirm everything that you ever needed to affirm deep down in your soul. He's going to cover all of your weaknesses, all of your insecurities. He's going to resolve and solve all of your problems and every issue you've ever had, because he is the perfect guy. Come on, isn't that a beautiful picture? Here's the reality. He's coming in a Toyota Camry with a busted headlight, with mommy issues from his upbringing because his mother didn't breastfeed him. He's coming with $100,000 in debt from grad school. Come on. He's not going to make anything perfect. He's got his own issues. He's only going to hold a mirror up to your issues and magnify all of your unresolved problems, because that's the way relationships work, don't they, experienced people? That's the truth. He's not going to be perfect. There are no perfect people. The only perfect person you can have a relationship with is Jesus Christ himself. And can I tell you, he's available. His relationship status is available to you. He will love you fully. He's the only one that can love you past your hurts, your hangups, your insecurities. He's the only one who can love you that way. And I think sometimes we bring these unrealistic expectations to our relationships, don't we? I mean, I'm joking for a moment, but let's get serious. We bring these unrealistic expectations. We expect more of others than they can possibly give to us. And I think some of our relationships, they're under pressure. Some of you have some fractured relationships because you expected more of people than they could possibly give to you. You know, my wife is home resting today because she's been sick this past week. So I've had a little extra duty. You know, I've been trying to wear both hats and doing a little cooking, a little cleaning, and trying to keep up with the laundry while I'm doing all my church work. And I got a little more appreciation this week of just what I expect of my wife, of what me and the boys expect of mama to do around the house. And sometimes we have this unrealistic expectation of what other people can possibly give to us. Here's the second flaw. Is this good? Second flaw is this: we hold other people to a higher standard than we want to be held to by God. Isn't that like a fundamental flaw that most of us have? Like, we hold people to a higher standard in our relationships than we want to be held to by God. Like, we want God to give us a lot of grace, a lot of mercy, a lot of understanding. All right, let me give you this example. Where are the married people at? Where are the people who are in a relationship with a significant other, especially the married people? You can relate to this. You ever have this episode happen, this situation? Like, your spouse comes to you and they're like, we need to talk. You know what's coming, right? Like, we need to talk. Like, yeah, you're doing that thing again. Yeah, you know that thing that we talked about? Like, 2 years ago, we went through counseling. We talked about that thing. And I asked you with the counselor to stop doing that thing. And remember a year ago when we were on vacation in Florida, you did that thing again? And the last few months, you've been doing that thing. And they have it documented. And I have it. You did it on, last week you did it on Wednesday. Then you did it on Friday and Saturday. And we've talked about this before, for you to stop doing that thing. You know what I'm talking about? And how do you usually respond, spouses? What's your normal response? Well, thank you so much for pointing that out. Thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to be more like Jesus. And can you unpack that a little bit more for me? Like, can you explain that further? Because I want to make sure I fully understand. Like, help me help you, because I want to love you wholly. I want to love you fully. And I want to make sure that I minister to every area of your life where I am lacking. Please explain that further to me so I can serve you better. No, is that your response? No, what do? I know exactly what you do. You do this. You're like, well, isn't that funny that you would bring that thing up? That very thing. Because that's exactly what you do to me. Yeah. Like, you're the Jedi master of that thing. Like, you won the Guinness Book of World Records for doing that thing. Like, if somebody wrote a book about that thing, it would be you. You could write the book for dummies on that. Like, you master that thing, and you're going to accuse me of that? Isn't that exactly what happens? We have this amazing capacity to flip it on the other person, right? Like, we hold people to one standard, but we want to be treated completely different, don't we? Completely different. What I expect from you is not necessarily what I want from God, certainly. Like, I want God to give me, like, lots of slack. I want God to give me lots of mercy. I hold you to one standard, but I want God to hold me to a different standard. Isn't that something that we struggle with in all of our relationships, don't we? So what do? How do we blow this up? How do we solve this problem? We blow this up by getting the gospel into the middle of our relationships. You know that's truth? that there's a reconciliation has to happen between us and the Father, but then between us and other people. It's the gospel unfolding in our relationships. We want to talk about that today. And so to help you with that, I want to give you three questions to consider as we endeavor to get the gospel into our relationships, to bring healing and reconciliation, wholeness into our relationships. Three questions I want you to consider. You can write these down, but I want you to meditate on these during the message, but maybe you want to revisit these. Number one, can Jesus Christ relate to you? Think about that question this morning. Do you really believe this, that Jesus Christ can relate to you? Because I think we struggle with this sometimes. Can he really relate to your situation right now? What's your situation? Maybe you're a single mom who's exhausted. Maybe you're a husband who's overworked and you're feeling guilty because you don't spend enough time with your kids. Maybe you're a single person who's frustrated, wondering if you're ever going to find the right person. Maybe you're divorced. Maybe you're widowed. Maybe you're going through a broken relationship right now. What's your situation in life? Where are you at in life right now? Can Jesus Christ relate to you where you are in life right now? Because sometimes I think we read the Gospels and we think so much about Jesus's divinity, the miracles, right? And the stained glass portrayals of him. And we know that he's the Son of God, that I think sometimes we forget about his humanity. Can he really relate to me where I am in life right now? And the Apostle Paul talks about this in Philippians chapter 2. Paul's writing to the Philippians about this very subject. Look at this, Philippians 2 verses 5 through 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Look at verse 7. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Paul tells us that Jesus actually limited himself. He emptied himself, like he stepped out of heaven and he allowed himself to be constrained by the constraints of time and space. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, eternally existent with the Father, part of the Trinity? And so Jesus, in coming to earth, he limited himself to time and space and to flesh and blood, right? Born of a woman, born of a virgin, but born of a woman, came to this world just like you and me. And so sometimes we focus so much on Jesus's divinity that we forget that Jesus was fully God and fully human. That means he can relate to you. Jesus knows what it is to be physically tired, to be exhausted, to experience pain. He knows the range of emotions that you and I have experienced, joy and disappointment, and the sense of rejection and hurt, right? He's experienced all of those things, all the things that you and me have experienced as human beings. And he's able to relate to us. He knows loss. He knows pain. He knows weariness. And here's the other thing. We see that Jesus could relate to all kinds of different people. We open the Gospels and we see that Jesus was comfortable running in all kinds of circles. He could hang out with the religious leaders and go toe-to-toe, or he could hang out with the lowest sinners, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. He had the disciples, and yet he was able to relate to people who were not in his inner circle, on the margins. One story we read about, Jesus went to the home of a well-known wealthy leader in the community, and he was comfortable there. He could relate to all those people. And then a woman came in, a sketchy woman who's known for being immoral, came to Jesus, and he just related right to her. He wasn't embarrassed. See, Jesus can relate to you, rich, poor, wherever you're at, whatever circles you run in, Jesus can relate to us. Here's the second question. The first question is, can Jesus Christ relate to you? Second question, how does Jesus relate to you? How does Jesus relate to you? I got good news for you this morning. Jesus relates to you in a good way. He doesn't give us what we deserve. As the Son of God, he doesn't give us what we deserve. Here's a scripture from the Old Testament, from Psalms, but it really foreshadows the coming of Jesus Christ and how he would treat us. Psalm 103, look at this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Can I get an amen, somebody? That's good news. Like, this is how God relates to you. He will not hold your sins against you. He will not hold your iniquities against you. Even though he's a righteous God and our sin is offensive to him, he's a God of love. He's a God of grace. He's slow to anger and abounding in love. Can I put it to you this way this morning, church? Jesus will meet you more than halfway. He will meet you more than halfway. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't treat us according to what we deserve? But the scripture says that we love him because he first loved us. Paul says in Romans chapter 5 that God demonstrates his love for us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While you were still a sinner, he reached out to you. Jesus tells the most famous parable in all of the Gospels, the story of the lost son. And before the lost son can even get home, the father is looking for him on the horizon and runs out to meet him. Can I tell you that he's the God who runs out to meet you? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will meet you more than halfway. And he doesn't treat us according to what we deserve. He loves you with an unconditional love. You and me, we're human beings. We always have a natural tendency to put conditions on our love for people. We like loving lovable people. But Jesus will love you no matter where you are in life. That's really good news. That's how he relates to you. Here's the third question I want you to consider this morning. How does this knowledge of Jesus' love, how does this impact the way we experience and have relationships with others, the way we relate to others? Now, in the book of 1 John, we see the gospel coming into our relationships. The Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, but later on in 1 John, he writes this epistle, this letter, and he begins to explain how the gospel comes into our relationships. Look at this, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Look at verse 7. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God." Look at this, "let us love one another." John's saying that's the goal, right? Isn't that the goal? Let us love one another. And this is written to the church, okay? Not just let's love the world, let's have world peace. He's like, no, you Christians, learn how to get along, okay? In here, let's learn how to love each other first, then maybe we can change the world. That's the goal. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. This is a gift that we have to receive, right? This isn't about you doing anything. This is about the love of God, the unconditional love of God coming into your life. This isn't about your efforts. This is about the gift of God. Follow me here. Look at verse 8. "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Powerful words, isn't it? Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. See, if you're having trouble loving someone, if you're not loving whoever or whomever, the problem is not really with them. The problem is with you. Now, this is hard for us to receive because we always think the problem is with them, don't we? Pastor, you don't understand. I'm having trouble loving them because they're so unlovable. Like, let me just explain to you. If they would just work with me, things would be a lot easier. Yeah, I get it. I get it. But John's challenging us here. It's a challenging scripture, right? He says, listen, if you're having trouble loving someone, it's because you don't fully know God, because God is love. When you get this revelation of who God is, that's what enables you to love people, even unlovable people. Y'all are getting quiet on me. This is challenging, isn't it? Now, look at this. Look at this, verses 9 through 11. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world." Look at this. "Sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Look at verse 11. "Dear friends, since God so loved us," everybody say so loved, "since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." So John says, this is what it looks like. God loved you so freely that he sent his one and only son into the world for you, gave his one and only son. Like, since you have been so loved, loved in this manner, makes me think of the most famous verse in the whole Bible, John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." John's saying, because God has so overwhelmingly demonstrated his love for us, we can love others. Like, God gave everything. Like, he emptied the riches of heaven. He poured out his love on you. He gave his one and only precious son, who went to the cross for you, held nothing back for you. Like, God has so loved you. One scripture says that God has poured his love into our hearts. What a beautiful picture of how God has loved us. And I have a little illustration for you this morning. It's like God is shoveling out his love over your life. It's like God is saying, I am shoveling my love over you. I'm shoveling my grace over you. I'm shoveling my mercy over your life. Oh, you need some more grace? It's okay. My mercies and my love are made new every morning. This isn't yesterday's grace. This is today's grace. I've got you covered. Oh, you're struggling. You're failing right now. You're sinning a whole lot. That's okay. I've got all of Calvary. I went to the cross. I'll just shovel out some more love on you. More grace over your life, because I have so loved you. Come on, how many of you are thankful that God has so loved you that way? He's poured out his love into your life. God, you have so loved me. And we receive shovels full of God's love for our lives. But then there are these people who need love from us. You know, here we are. We've received the shovel full of God's love, and then there are people who need love for us, and we get out our spoon, and we say, "Oh, you need a little love? Okay, I got love for you," and then we give them a little love. Oh, you need a little forgiveness? I've got forgiveness for you. I've got mercy for you. I've got grace for you. Oh, you've offended me? That's okay. I've got capacity. Let me give you a little bit of love, a little mercy, a little grace. Are you with me? See, we celebrate the shovel, but we dispense with the spoon, don't we? We celebrate the shovel. We celebrate how God has so richly loved us. But when it comes to extending that to others, we tend to use the spoon. And it's because we're flawed, isn't it? It's because we're flawed. We have a tendency to treat others differently than the way we want to be treated. We have a tendency to treat others differently than the way we want God to treat us. We want God to shovel out his grace. Come on, how many of you are thankful for the grace of God? I'm a grace preacher because I know how much I need it. I preach it to you because I know how much I need it. And so we're like, God, I need your grace. God, I need shovels full of your mercy. God, I had a really bad day yesterday. Please shovel some grace on me. We want the shovel, right? But we're prone to give the spoon to others. And you know why? You know why we dispense with the spoon? It's because you and I never really got the revelation that God has served us his love with a shovel. Oh, we may have said that we got it. We may have sang about it. We may have lifted our hands and sang about the love of God. We may have amened all of the messages about the love and the mercy of God. But the truth is, the fact that we dispense it to others with a spoon shows that we never really believed that God was giving us this gift of his love and his grace. What we dispense is a reflection of what we've received. You want to know how big your revelation of God's love is? You want to know how much you really believe it deep down in your heart? Pay attention to how you dispense it to other people. There is an intrinsic connection between the love of God and our ability to love other people, isn't there? And so if someone is getting the spoon from me, it's really not about them. We always make it about them, don't we? We always naturally make it about them. But if somebody's getting the spoon from me, it's really about me. It's really about what's going on in my heart. I may have sang the praises of God about his amazing love. I may have amened the sermons about amazing grace, but I haven't really fully received the full revelation of his love for me. I haven't really gotten it deep down in my heart just how much he's loved me. 1 John 4:11, John's saying to us, and God is saying to us, in the same way I have loved you, so you are to love others. If you've really gotten a hold of this, if you've really gotten the revelation of my love over your life, then you can give it to others, because shovel receivers are shovel dispensers. Those who have truly received the love of God, those who have truly received this gift of God, his grace, his mercy by the shovelful, that's where you're able to give it by the shovelful to others. Now, can I just acknowledge some tension for just a moment in this room? Even as I say something like that, I know there's a little something that rises up in some of you that would say, but yeah, Pastor Jeremy, you don't understand what that person did to me. Like, Pastor, you don't understand how they hurt me at such a deep level. Like, you don't know how unlovable that person has been. You don't know how my dad walked out on us. You don't know what my ex did to me. Listen, I get it this morning. There are some tensions that we have to work through. Nobody's glossing over your hurt. Nobody's glossing over what was done to you. I'm sorry for what was done to you, but we have to choose to believe what's best. Come on, at the beginning of the message, we said that the love of Jesus Christ is the most powerful influence over our lives. I really believe it can make a broken person whole. I really believe it's the only thing that can seep down deep inside of the scars and the cracks of your heart and bring healing to your life. I believe it's the unconditional love of Father God expressed through his son, Jesus Christ, that can change your life, that can heal your identity, that can make you whole. Do you really believe that this morning? You got to get this deep down in your heart. Do you really believe this? And if you do, that means we have to step over some hurdles. We have to jump over some hurdles to get there. Come on, we're not gonna settle for something that's second best. We're gonna go after what God has for us. We're gonna go after his best. We're not gonna let hurts stop us from getting there. And some of you, you've thought it's about your efforts. You've thought it's about the other person. You've thought, well, Pastor, you don't understand. Like, I've tried to love people. I'm so disappointed in my lack of patience. I'm so, you know, disappointed in my lack of forgiveness. I'm so, you know, disappointed sometimes in my lack of just being able to, you know, put the other person before me. You really thought it was all about your behavior toward the other person. No, it's not. It's about your capacity to believe and receive what God is wanting to give you. It's unconditional love, His grace, His mercy poured out into your heart. And some of you, you're limiting yourself from receiving that. You're limiting yourself from receiving that. Like you choose to not believe that that's true. You choose to believe that your pains are actually greater than the love of God. Some of you choose to believe what someone said about you, what someone did to you. You're choosing to believe even the voices in your head. And essentially what you're saying is what others think of me and what I think of me is greater than what you, Jesus Christ, think of me. But no, we have to trade the lie for the truth. We have to exchange that for the truth. We have to jump over that hurdle and say, no, I choose to believe, God, what you have said about me. I choose to believe the promises of your word. I choose to believe that you sending your son, Jesus Christ, to this world to love me unconditionally, your self-sacrificial love. I choose to believe that your voice is greater than any other voice, than what someone said about me, what someone did to me, what I've even told myself. And I choose to get a hold of it today. I choose to believe it today. Can I tell you this morning, church, God's grace is available to you. There's an open heaven. God wants to pour out His love over your life. He is standing ready and willing to shovel out His grace over your life, to shovel out His love over your life, to shovel out His mercy over your life, so much so that it fills your heart and can overflow to others. I love the verse that says, God has poured His love into our hearts. Can you receive it with such a great capacity that it not only brings healing and wholeness to you, but it overflows from you to bring healing and health to your relationships? Why don't you stand with me this morning? We're gonna pray into this. And here's our prayer. Come on, stay locked in this morning. Here's our prayer. Our prayer is, God, give us a greater revelation. Come on, God, open our hearts. God, expand our capacity to receive your love today, to receive your love today. We're gonna do business between us and God, our Father. We're gonna wait to get to the other people. We're gonna wait to get to those people in our lives that we need to love better. First, it starts with, God, give me a greater revelation of your love for me in Christ Jesus. Would you pray with me? Do you want that this morning? If you want that, would you just make it personal? Would you pray with me? Come on, let's pray into this. In just a moment, we're gonna receive communion and we're gonna sing a final song, but let's take a moment to commit in our hearts this prayer. Father, we thank you for your great love. God, we thank you that you are a God of love, a God of grace, a God of mercy. Lord, we thank you, as the scripture says, your mercies are made new every day. And Lord, today you are wanting to pour out your grace and your love over our lives. God, we're asking you to expand our capacity. God, we're asking you to open our hearts. God, we're asking you to give us a greater revelation of your love. Come on, pray that with me personally. God, give me a greater revelation of your love. God, we thank you that you have poured your love into our hearts. God, we pray that it would happen in such a way that it overflows from our hearts to bring healing to others, that it overflows from our hearts, that we have greater capacity to give it to other people in our lives who need it. God, do it in us first. God, do it in us first. God, we thank you that it's your love that shapes us. Lord, today we choose to believe your voice. We tune out the voices that would lie to us. We tune out what other people have said about us. We tune out what we've even said to ourselves. We tune out the lie that we're not worthy, because God, it's never been about us being worthy or deserving. God, you gave us your love unconditionally. And so today, God, we choose to believe what's best. We choose to jump over any hurdle we have to overcome, any pain, any lie, any hurt, to grab a hold of what's best and what's good, your love for us. Father, do it in each and every person's life today, we pray in Jesus' name. And if you receive it, would you say amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.